Nope.
We have a forum present, and we're just having a discussion about there are a number of members that are still struggling to get here, except they're coming in from the West. But we do have a quorum, and hopefully they'll be able to be here prior to the completion of business. With the number of bills that we have, I think the main interest is on the health care reform bill. I would suspect that we probably will be running and taking care of all of the other miscellaneous bills, and perhaps starting on the health care reform bill, depending on how long that would take. But I suspect we won't include that one. So I probably have an infection that will be in reinvestigation team, but depending on the other team it start on. Representative Blowski, I understand Winona was in the news. Would you like to make any announcements? I know I hesitate to call anyone unless you get a chance to review your thoughts. I mean, we'll talk to you about minutes, but...
No, Mr. Chair,
I think it's safe to call him, and you might make a comment or two.
Well, it's a former high school social studies teacher. You know you don't want to have students perform when they're either not prepared or they are actually copying someone else's work. So that would be my reference to the minute issue. To the other issues, Winona State University did win the NCAA 2 Division National title this weekend. It is their second national title in 3 years. They came in second last year, and in the last 2 years, they have lost a total of 2 games total. So there will be, my wife works at the Winona State Bookstore, if anyone's interested in caps, hats, shirts, memorabilia, they can be provided.
And I think when I was in Winona, Representative Pulowski, he told me a couple of interesting things about the coach, that he is not only the coach of the basketball team, but doesn't he teach a full load or major number of credits or something?
Yes, Coach Leaf, Mr. Chair, teaches a full load. Yeah, the Leaf family has, I believe, 7 brothers and 1 sister. So they are also very active in another sport I'm remotely interested in called golf. So they have a legacy of sports activity in the Winona area.
But I did find that interesting. He is both a full-time instructor there at Winona State University as well as the basketball coach, and with that tremendous record, tells us a lot about apparently his commitment to both.
Well, Mr. Chair, the academic record of the students is also incredibly high. So if you take a look at the average academic record of the basketball players, it is one of the highest in the division.
And when I watched, by the way, last night, they were way behind at one point in the game, and they not only caught up, but ended up with a fairly decisive
victory. I believe at halftime they were 12 points down.
Very good. At any rate, I thought that was a worthy announcement of success of a Minnesota college in one of our sports, Minnesota University, I should say. We do have the minutes from
right,
the...
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes.
Representative Blowski moves approval of the minutes. Now, you did have a chance to study them.
I looked over them and missed them. The staff has done an outstanding job, as they usually do.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion on the approval of the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Houseman, House File 4072 is the first bill on the agenda, and if you'd like to make a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House File 4072 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and I would further move the A1 amendment to that bill.
Okay.
If you want to act on the amendment first.
The amendment
simply says that appropriation shouldn't happen in more than once if it appears in several bills. It's a standard addition we
need. Boilerplate type amendment. Okay. Any discussion on that amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Houseman.
And Mr. Chair, I hope it's not true that my experience of last year and this year has caused a serious case of paranoia, but I'm also a believer that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. So So these are two vehicle bills so that we are prepared. You know that it is my strong hope to have a bonding bill that meets the governor's approval and that the governor signs, and I just want to be prepared for every eventuality. So that is on the 4072. We've used HEPR at the University of Minnesota and NINSCU.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signified, or I should restate it then, Representative Hausman renews her motion that House File 4072 be recommended to pass as amended and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any further discussion? Hearing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Hausman, House File 4070.
And Mr. Chair, I would further move House File 4070 be recommended to pass and we referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and I move the A1 amendment to that. Also, that just simply states the obvious that an appropriation happens only once.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Hausman.
And Mr. Chair, here we just use the clean water infrastructure as our vehicle.
Okay, and Representative Garoppolo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to get my wireless devices away from the microphone here. The Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman, I appreciate the spot you're in right now, and I'm not going to make any points on that. I'm just wondering, from a process standpoint, it looks like we're going to have a bill come back from conference. That bill's going to be disposed of, and then we're going to have a second vehicle. For members, what's the process by which
you got $16 billion? You can't.
There's going to be a. What's the process by which those bills will be sort of debated, reviewed? Members have input. The public has input. Where does it? How does that take place from here?
Mr. Chair, if a conference committee bill were vetoed, we would then have to start over with a new vehicle that would be passed in both the House and the Senate on the House floor. And so, I mean, in a sense, you start over, and that debate would happen on the House floor.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, would that just be in the form of a delete all amendment on the floor, or is there a, do we start over in Ways and Means, or where would we, I guess, where would that bill be marked up would be my question.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Garoppolo, here I somewhat look to leadership in both. This one will go on to Ways and Means, whether Ways and Means or Rules or the floor is the logical place. But I'm also a realist, and I know how many votes that needs, so there has to be a pretty broad understanding of what's in that bill. Obviously, we would have to look for the opportunity to have broad input on it.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, I want to make sure that the highly respected chair of the Capital Investment Committee, who is watching over the possible or not possible funding of the UPA agreement, knows that my questioning is no concern about her. The bigger concern that members on my side of the aisle have expressed is that, again, if the first bill is disposed of and we have a second bill that's sent over to the Senate, that we're going to get a missile fired back at us on the last day of session, and we're going to have a choice of either taking the Senate bonding bill or getting no bonding bill at all. And while I don't speak for my caucus, I can tell you that I've discussed that with multiple members, and that's not a situation we like. We prefer the Hausman approach to the Langseth approach over in the House Republican caucus.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Garoppolo, I have said this will happen on the last day of session over my dead body, so I'm certainly hoping that eventuality doesn't happen. We have discussed that candidly with the Senate, that we certainly hope that each body acts in good faith, and that we always, when we move forward, have done that with consultation of both bodies, because none of us, I think, would like that particular approach to happen.
Garoppolo, I've been there, done that, where we've had a major amendment on the House floor due to either a veto
which is one instance when I was dealing with it. Another was when we were having some difficulty reaching an agreement with the Senate. But what you find is that an amendment that would be offered on the House floor usually has many of the component parts of the previous bill that was either tied up in conference committee and or vetoed. So there's a lot of knowledge about what's in it, but once that motion is made, you thoroughly debate it on the House floor, and members do have an opportunity for a lot of input, and I'm only commenting in the sense that I've been in that situation on more than one occasion. I suspect maybe a couple of the other members that have been here in the past with major bills have had those kinds of circumstances, but usually what's inserted is not, in this case, probably new projects. It will be projects that probably have been talked about or gone before. And as you just pointed out, it's probably an adjustment to go to a lower number is probably what the outcome is. But there would be no new projects in that sense. But it would still end engaging in a lot of discussion. So my assumption is that one or both of these would be on the House floor, but the first stop is Ways and Means after that. Representative Holder.
Mr. Chairman, not to throw any cold water on Representative Halsman, but I know that she also has her funeral planned.
Wow.
Apparently,
prophecy going on. Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, I just want to make clear that it's not a matter of a lack of trust in you or any way. I will be honest, though. I don't trust the Senate. I don't trust them at all. And I know that it's important to, it's one of the institutional advantages, shock, yes. it's one of the institutional advantages they have is that they're not up this year as opposed to us, and maybe this just is another argument for the case to be made for staggered terms. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, Representative Hausman renews her motion then that House File 470 be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The next bill is House File 3391, Representative Huntley.
Chair, I thought you wanted to do the other bills first.
You want to get, okay, that's, well, should we take Senate File 2564?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate File 25, wait a minute, let me go back. I move the Healthcare and Human Services Finance Division Report for Senate File 2564, first engrossment.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Huntley?
Yeah, then I move Senate File 2564, first engrossment, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, Representative Huntley?
Mr. Chair, this is not a vehicle bill. This is a bill. Everything in it is included in the 1812 omnibus bill, but it is important that this part of that bill get to the House floor and Senate floor because there are some time issues involved in this bill. Basically, the state was going to be penalized on its maintenance of effort problems that it's had with its TANF program, and this addresses those problems the federal government requires us to do. In addition to that, if we pass this by about the middle of April, the state has a good chance of going back and collecting money for the fiscal year 2007 from the Fed. So that's why this has to go separately.
Okay, any discussion on the Huntley motion?
No. I do think, however, we need an amendment to do the same thing that Representative Hausman have. I don't have an amendment, but I think we need something that says something about duplicate appropriations. Or
Mr. Marks indicates he doesn't think we need it on this one.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, since this is amending 2007 session law, and presumably the amendment would be the same in this bill and in another bill that passes. It's identical, and you are only implementing it once at that point, isn't it?
Okay. Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, then Representative Huntley renews his motion that House File 2564, the first engrossment, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley will then go down to House File 3976.
Mr. Chair, I move the Health Care and Human Services Finance Division Report for House File 3976, first committee engrossment.
Okay, any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley?
I move House File 3976, first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And for those that don't know, 3976 is the language and dollars that are in the, again, in the 1812 bill. But I do need two amendments to so that the committee report would be the same as the bill that we put into 1812. So, Mr. Chair, I would move House File 3976A32-1 amendment.
Okay, that's,
that was put on in the Finance Committee last Thursday night, I believe.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion on the amendment A32-1? Okay, seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley, your second amendment?
I move House File 3976A33 amendment. And, Mr. Chair, this is the one that simply does the duplicate appropriation language.
Okay, any discussion on that amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley?
Again, Mr. Chair and members, what we're trying to do with this is just send this to Ways and Means and let it sit there as a vehicle should the 1812 not be passed or if it is vetoed.
Okay, everybody understand the motion and the basic content of the bill? Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those, I'll restate the motion. Representative Huntley moves House File 3976, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley, I'm not sure we'll get through all of it this morning, but and if you're ready, we will start with House File 3391. And I know you have an author's amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would move Health Care and Human Services Finance Division Report for House File 3391, First Committee Engrossment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion on the report? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Huntley?
I move House File 3391, First Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Huntley, on the amendment then that I referenced a moment ago, do you want to present the bill before or after the amendment is adopted?
Well, let's put the amendment on first, Mr. Chair.
And then I'll put the bill on the form that you'd like. Okay, Representative Huntley moves H3391A58.
And, Mr. Chair, I have a two oral amendments on page... Oh, wait a minute. On the A58 amendment, on page 8, delete lines 18 and 19.
1599.
This is just a technical amendment to make sure the language is correct.
And you said you had two changes for the set.
No, just delete lines 818 and 819.
So you're going to just incorporate
through the amendment.
You're going to incorporate that into your amendment,
right?
Okay. That section is that is incorporated in the amendment. Any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Huntley. This is, looks like it could be a pretty significant change to the bill, which I last saw in finance, so I'm wondering if you could actually walk through it and give us the gist of what this is about.
Sure. I won't give you all the details, but this does eliminate the exchange and all references to it. Let's see. Oh, and it also deletes the recapture assessment. And it changes the payment level 3 language to accommodate the concerns of the Minnesota Medical Association. And if this amendment passes, they will then support the bill.
Those would be the key parts.
The last one is adds a Thiessen bill on page 8 that relates to having the University of Minnesota School of Public Health do a study to predict the fiscal outcomes of various models of healthcare reform and payment, including the payment reform that's in this bill, plus evaluate any savings that we could get from a single payer system. And it, my understanding is there's a private source of money for this, so it does not cost the state anything.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and again, Representative Huntley, since I haven't had time to read this, you talked about changes made to level 3 so that the MMA would support it. Could you specify exactly what that means?
Representative Huntley.
Okay, well, the level 3 is the very controversial item where the providers would be responsible for the total cost of care.
Mm-hmm.
That would be evaluated as the year goes on. What this does is delay that for a year and put instead a system in which certain chronic diseases, if that's all the providers choose to do, they could bid on the cost of care on a set number of chronic conditions. So that, and to my way of thinking, that's the most important part of total cost of care anyway, because as people in my committee have heard, and you heard it there, the real place you can save money in healthcare is in people that have a chronic illness that is not too serious yet. And if you can keep it from getting serious, then there are dramatic savings that have been demonstrated in many pilot projects in this state and across the nation. But people are nervous about the level 3. Still in the bill, however, it is voluntary. Nobody has to go into level 3 in the bill as it is now or in the bill with this amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Huntley, does this amendment address anything with the 125 plans, mandatory 125 plans for employers over 3 years? Is that still in the original bill?
There's no longer any reference to 125 plans
whatsoever
in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley. I think this is an amendment that's in the right direction, and I will certainly support it.
And Representative Huntley, Mr. March has given me, we need to, on page 3, line 24, apparently we have a blank appropriation there. We need to insert the amount of $482,000. Page 3, line 24. Notice where it says appropriation.
Right.
Yeah. Do members follow up? If everybody turns to page 3, we just basically need to insert there then on line 24. We would delete the blank appropriation and insert $482,000. I think that's another one that you can just
incorporate
in your amendment then. Any further discussion on the Huntley Amendment A58? If seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Then, Mr. Chair, I have two other sort of technical changes to the bill.
Are they in our packet, or are they...
No, they're not. We just... Bass has just given these to us and said we have some technical things to do.
So yeah. Shall we look at the bill or
look
the
at the bill, yes.
Catch the bill?
Okay. And the first one is on page 15, line 34. Delete January and insert July.
Page 15, line 34. Okay. And the other one?
The other one is on page 47, line 28. And the thing to do there is delete 2011 and insert 2013. And this is more than a technical amendment. What it does is extend the life of the Transformation Commission for an additional 2 years.
Okay, everybody follow the oral amendment then.
What?
On page 15
please?
And page 47.
Yes. And that, Mr. Chair, is because of what we did in the A58 amendment. Do we put things in so this makes the bill consistent with the 858.
Okay. Any discussion on the Huntley oral amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Huntley.
Okay, now the bill is in the condition I would like it. As Representative Tepin said, there are some very significant changes to this, the way the bill was. It has removed some of the controversial items, including any mandates for 125 plans on small employers. It eliminates the exchange from the bill. That was a governor's proposal. Personally, I like the exchange, but it seems that was an impediment to passing the bill, so that has been eliminated. But this is the health care reform bill, and I don't know if everybody in this room reads the Minneapolis paper, but if you read yesterday's Minneapolis paper, there's a big article on the opinion exchange page by an interview with Dr. Cortez, who is the head of the Mayo Clinic, and I will read you the first sentence of his article. It says, "To the extent that people say the system is broken, I would reject that as a too simple thought. There is no system." And that fits in with the one I usually quote, which is
Dr. Jordy Cohen, who was the head of the American Association of Medical Colleges, who said that he wished people would quit saying that the healthcare system is broken, because if you say it's broken, that implies you can fix it. And he preferred the word, instead of broken, obsolete. And what this bill does is start to address these very serious problems with our healthcare. And if you read Dr. Cortese's article, he thinks our whole economy is in danger because of the rising cost of healthcare, which will soon reach about 20%. It's about 16% of GDP right now, and he thinks, everybody thinks it'll be 20% in about 4 years. And the question is, what does that do to our economy? What does that do to people that can't afford insurance? That will certainly lead to fewer people having insurance if it gets that expensive. So this bill attempts to do a number of things. One is to reduce the spending on health care, but do it in a way that actually improves people's quality of health, not by limiting services, but by doing better, smarter services up front. You've all heard me talk about the Duluth Clinic St. Mary's and the fact that they improve the health of people with congestive heart failure dramatically. 80%+ fewer emergency room visits, 80%+ reduction in readmission to the hospital, 80%+ reduction in length of stay if they were readmitted, and spent 48% less money on them. So they greatly improved these people's health and saved the system a lot of money. Unfortunately, they lost $1 million doing that because they couldn't get paid for what they did, which was to hire nurses and nurse practitioners to be in daily contact with these patients over the phone, and to supply these people with equipment in their homes so that they can weigh themselves every day, type in a few other signals, and send it off to the clinic, and these nurses then looked at the data every day. If something didn't look right, one of the nurses would call the patient. If the patient needed a change in their prescription level, the nurse practitioner could do that. And so these people never had to actually come in and see a doctor. They could do it all over the phone. And I told you what the results were. Unfortunately, you can't get paid for the nurses, the nurse practitioners, and the equipment in the people's homes. So what we want to do is develop a system that rewards providers that do that rather than punish them $1 million. I think we ought to at least let them keep part of the savings they made in the system. So this bill has a large number of things that relate to chronic disease management, one of which is called a medical home or a healthcare home, which is intended to coordinate the care of these people that have these chronic diseases and keep them from getting worse and keep them out of the hospital. The other example I'll give you, I don't want to get into too much detail, but there's a study out of Hartford and inner city clinic. Okay, the kids are all on medical assistance or have no insurance, and this clinic reduced the spending on kids with asthma by 90%. And the only way you can do that is by keeping those kids out of the emergency room. And what they did is they hired a social worker and two translators to communicate with the families on a daily or weekly basis, find out how their kid was doing and whether they needed any change in their regimen. And the result was as I said, a 90% reduction in spending, which means the kids weren't going to the emergency room. And if you have an asthma crisis, it's my understanding you are sure that you're going to die. It is so painful, you can't breathe, and you end up in the emergency room. And what does that mean? That means that the mother or the father has to take 3 or 4 days off of work in order to take care of this kid. And so if we can keep them out of the emergency room, number one, the kid's not missing school. Number two, the kid is out playing with his friends like they're supposed to. And number three, the parents don't have to lose work time. But there again, the system won't pay for the nurses and it won't pay for the social workers. So what we're trying to do in this bill is set up a system where we will start to pay for those upfront things that actually save us money in the long run. And those are called medical homes. They're called healthcare homes. There's things in this bill that relate to paying for performance. If you measure the outcomes of people, then the providers, if they know that they're being looked at, then people are, somebody's going to publish in a newspaper how their quality is compared with other folks. They will change the way they practice medicine. So we're having incentives to do this upfront care for people with chronic illnesses. One of the best examples in Minnesota is, you know, we think we have the greatest health care in the world here in Minnesota. And we all like to think that that the U.S. has the greatest health care in the world. The results in Minnesota, looking at regular people getting regular insurance that happen to be diabetic, is 4 years ago, only 6% of the diabetics in the state of Minnesota were getting the full care they were supposed to get. 6% were getting the full treatment they were supposed to be getting. Since those numbers come out, there has been significant improvement in those numbers. You know, I think we're all the way up to about 15% now. But this bill reinforces those kinds of things so that people with the chronic diseases will keep from getting worse. And that's about 75% of the money we spend on health care are on those chronic diseases. So this is the place to save money and improve people's health. And I always like to quote the old line from Willie Sutton, the bank robber, who was a cult figure in the 30s and 40s, and he was, and he'd get caught, and then he'd escape, and he'd get rob another bank and get caught again, and then he'd escape. And in the 30s, if you were a bank robber, you were sort of, that was a good thing to do in those days. But one time in the 50s, he was being hauled off to jail, and a reporter yelled at him and said, "Willie, why do you keep robbing banks?" And he said, "Because that's where the money is." And if you want to save money on health care, the place to save it is in these chronic diseases, and that's the whole focus of this bill. Now, Mr. Chair, do you want me to go through the budget items in it, or do you want me to answer questions?
I think we can go to questions at this point, if you're satisfied with the overview. We have Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious, is this an educated guess that you will save money? Take St. Mary's that lost $1 million on trying the new methods. You're speculating that you will save money in the long run, I guess, somehow. Is there any quantitative?
Well, the Transformation Task Force hired an outside consulting firm that does studies on healthcare. It's called Mathematica. I don't remember if they're in Washington or New York. And they predicted that we would get the savings by about, and they predicted we'd get about 20% savings by, what's the year? 2011, I believe. And, that does not mean we won't be paying more for health care then, because if we do nothing, the prediction is we're spending about $30 billion in Minnesota per year on health care. The prediction is by 2011 we'd be spending about $42 billion. So what we want to do is take that slope that's going up, you know, versus years, and reduce the slope a little. And Mathematica thinks that we could save 20% of the spending on health care by doing these kinds of things that are recorded here, plus the public health initiative that would hopefully reduce the levels of obesity and lack of exercise and things like that. And if we do those, that combination of public health plus chronic disease management, they believe we could save 20%.
Mr. Chairman?
Right to Verhart.
You're speculating, and I'm not arguing with you, I'm just trying to get my hands around this, or my head or something, that this is a new, untried procedure, or procedures for healthcare, I think. Not in practice any other place, but you're speculating if we do this here that we will save 20% or whatever. You're going to slow down the cost of the increase. Is there any impact, or are we launching ourselves on another experiment?
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, everything in here is based on pilot work that's been done someplace, either in Minnesota or in the country, and in every one of those cases, they've been able to show dramatic improvements in health and decreased spending. And our choice is to keep doing pilot projects and tiptoeing along, or we're going to have to do something big. Dr. Cortese has gone all over the country and basically talked about the same things that are in this bill. Most of what's in this bill grew out of the Medical Association's plan for health care that started in 25, then they had the Healthy Minnesota, to be honest, Representative Earhart, I don't think this could happen in any place except Minnesota. There's no place in this country where the docs are willing to change the way they practice medicine. And they understand that we have to change, and they're willing to do it, and it's not easy for them. But after this amendment, the MMA supports this bill. We have a group called Seniors and Workers for Quality that supports this bill. Local Public Health Association supports this bill. Health Partners supports it. Park Nicholas supports it. Carlson Company supports it. St. Mary's Duluth Clinic supports it. General Mills supports it. Medica supports it. Alina, AARP, Ask Me Council 5, Minnesota Nurses Association, and Courage Center all have sent letters supporting what's in this bill. And that's, we're going all the way from, labor union to the business community. And I did pass out a sheet. The Chamber of Commerce has not yet said whether they support this, but they have testified they had some criticisms of what was in the bill, some things they liked. And with the amendment I put on today, everything they did not like is no longer in the bill. So I think that this bill is one that will be supported by both the providers and by the labor unions and by the business community.
Well, I'd ask one more question, Mr. Chairman. It's not going to cost any money to launch this, or we're going to provide some money to do from wherever to get the thing started, to make up $1 million that St. Mary's folks lost, or?
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, yes, it's going to cost money. And it's going to cost, out of the Healthcare Access Fund, I believe, $34 million. But that will include enrolling about 35,000 more people in Minnesota Care. And we'll pay for some of the public health stuff. This year there's $20 million going into the public health. And if you don't think public health is important, in 1995, 15% of Minnesota adults were obese. 1995. Today, it's 25% are obese. And there's a huge cost to the healthcare system because people that are obese have much higher spending on them. And so we have this public health approach to try to
get people to take care of their own health a little bit better by exercising and losing some weight. So, and that's $20 million this year. The health department actually requested that we spend $40 million a year on this, and what's in this bill would spend, since we're in the middle of a session, would spend $20 billion this year and $40 and per year in the out years, and that money comes out of the health care access fund. Everything that's now in this bill today is health care access fund dollars.
That's very hard to set it. I'll represent Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Huntley and members. Well, I think the amendment that you offered before was a step in the right direction. I still have serious concerns about the bill, and you talked a little about the health care access fund, and I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about how this is sustainable. In looking at the fiscal note, $43 million in 2009, $82 million in 2010, $140 million almost in 2011, and what we're doing is we're using the health care access fund as a slush fund to get more people on publicly assisted health care, which may be the goal, but it's not a goal that I am in favor of. I'm not quite sure why we want to get more people on government-assisted health care. I look at this bill, and I think that we're missing the reform. I think reform is coming from the free market solutions, and if you look at some of the numbers, and I just want all members to understand that we're putting a lot more people on government health programs. We're getting a lot more people addicted to government health programs, and I'm not sure that's the direction we want to go, and I don't understand how, if we're using this all from the health care access fund, what does that mean? What does that mean when for the private sector? If that's where the money's coming from, are we going to have to raise that fee? I know now there's quite an excess, but what is your plan going forward as to how we're going to maintain the increase in publicly funded programs?
Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin, it is in balance. The money is used, as I said, out of the health care access fund. It will do a number of things. One is the public health effort. The other is to provide Minnesota care coverage for people up to 300% of poverty, whether they have children or don't have children. That's a significant increase in the number of people that have insurance. And at the end of 3 years, we're estimating that 32,000 people will have insurance. Now, not all of those people are going to be on Minnesota care. We are very careful in this bill to say if someone is working and they're working for an employer that offers insurance and they're below 300% of poverty, that what we will do is subsidize the employee's share of that health insurance rather, and that saves us as a state money, as a state budget money, because the employer always pays, if it's a regular health plan, the employer pays at least 50% of the cost. So if we simply subsidize the employee who is low income and can't afford the 50% of his premium, then we will keep them in the regular insurance market, but with a subsidy. And if you want to know my personal view, is I'd be happy if Minnesota Care went away. And all we did was subsidize people and let them buy into the regular insurance market like everybody else.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley. You mentioned that this was in balance for now, but I guess I'm really wondering going forward, how are you going to keep the funds up in the health care access fund? Are you going to have to raise the sick tax to maintain this, I would think, or are you going to have to take it from the general fund? I'm just wondering what your vision is for the long term. And I just want to note to members too that there's some very major changes to our current policy, and some little things that I have some concerns with. For example, we're allowing delayed verification of eligibility for Mincare. We're exempting new Mincare enrollees from paying the first month premium. We're removing the 4-month uninsured requirement for the Minnesota Care eligibility. But those are just a few of the things. There's so many changes to this, and I think that members aren't understanding how fast this is moving. But specifically, if you could talk about that healthcare access fund, and what are the costs going to be to, since we're raising it there, what's going to be the cost on people who aren't in a state subsidized program?
The one of the features, Mr. Chair and Representative Pepper, one of the features of this bill is the affordability section, and basically it says up to 300% of poverty you will pay on a sliding fee based on at the at the high end. When you reach 300% of the poverty level, you your premium should not be more than 6% of your gross income. We continue that up to 400%, and there at the high end, the premium should not be more than 8% of a person's gross income. It turns out that there aren't a lot of people between 300 and 400% of poverty that don't have insurance, so that's not that big a deal. Again, a lot of those people have insurance offered to them but can't afford it, and this would simply subsidize the employee share and keep them in the private market.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley. I won't go on with my points anymore. There'll be time for that on the House floor. But you know, but overall, I think it's fairly obvious that somebody's going to have to pay for this, and if we're going to have to increase the sick tax, the cost, we're going to be shifted, and private pay is going to have to pay, which means we're going to have to pay. The rest of us are going to have to pay a great deal more. I just think that we're moving rather quickly on this, and again, I appreciate the changes you made. I think they were good changes with the savings recapture and removing the mandatory requirement of the 125 plans and the exchange, and certainly removing the level 3. I think that was wonderful on your part that you were able to make those concessions. But members, this is still this isn't a non-controversial bill, and I think we really have to take a look at the changes that are still happening in the bill despite the earlier author's amendment, and I'd be very leery, and at this point I can't support the bill.
Before we go to the next three people, I've been given an amendment that I think this came from Ms. Marsh. Yeah. And the chair moves, and this is relating to our previous amendment in part where we inserted that fund of for $882,000. So I would move that we delete the $482,000 that we previously enacted and insert instead $804,000. The reason for that is Mr. Marks said that we receive federal reimbursement on this, and so therefore a lower number is needed. And then also on line 22 of page 60, we would delete the blank appropriation there and insert $15 million. So any discussion on those changes? That puts the bill, I think, closer to the order that you'd like to have it, Representative Hundley. I'm not sure you saw this, but Mr. Mark handed it to me, so...
Well, Mr. Chair, all I can say is I've never found anything that Mr. Mark did that didn't fix up my problems.
Constantly improving. So,
and I will say that
amendment.
Yeah, we didn't get some of the fiscal notes until Saturday, and so while we were taking the weekend off, the fiscal staff was here all Saturday and Sunday.
Well, thank you for that. If you recall, Friday we had tentatively scheduled the bill, and then because we were waiting for fiscal notes, had to lay it over until this morning. So, any discussion on that amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Wagenius, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Huntley, before I ask my question, let me observe that
gotcha.
I would not agree that the free market is the solution. The free market just gave us $29 billion taxpayer bailout of Bear Stearns. So looking to your solution, very appealing, but and I hear the savings in the health system, but where we've had a similar way of doing business, and the savings would have been in Representative Breiling's system, in the education system, we have failed. And let me give here's the example I want to give. We have been giving doctors money to do tests for children on MA, detect their lead levels in their blood. We give them the money. It's a great prevention method. We know what lead does. We know that it's going to cost us a mint if we don't prevent it, and it will cost Representative Bradley's committee a mint. Yet, only about the last time I looked, 20% of the doctors were doing what we were paying them to do. Help me out here.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, that's precisely the kind of thing that this bill is supposed to be doing, which is to reward those clinics that do a good job, and by paying them this, some of these fees, like the health home fee, but they're then held to be accountable. They have to deliver. And if they don't come out with the number of kids that they, we think they ought to be testing for lead, then they won't get those payments. So this bill does precisely what you want, and that's to reward groups that do a good job and does not give those extra payments to groups that don't do a good job.
Can I expect that instead of a small percentage of children who should be tested for lead poisoning, that now a large percentage will be tested for lead poisoning?
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, I certainly believe there will be a dramatic change. We're already seeing dramatic changes when you publish the data from various clinics as to how they're doing compared to other clinics. Then you get dramatic changes in the performance of clinics, and I don't want to talk too long, but I've been teaching medical students for, 45 years, and they're all extremely bright, they're all extremely hardworking, they're all dedicated to doing a good job of in their profession, but the other thing about them is they're all extremely competitive, and they've never been out of the top 10 of anything in their life, and if something shows up in the newspaper that says the clinic down the block is better than their clinic is, they will change. It's not that the patients are going to move, it's because the providers will change.
Thank you. I do want to let this thing about lead drop. It's just costing us too much money, and it's costing the child and the child's family too much. Can I expect that that specific thing will be published so that people can see, so that folks will know on that specific subject?
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, I would assume that would be one of the things we'd look at, particularly in communities like yours and mine, where we have a lot of old houses that still have lead paint all over the place. And so that would be one of the things that we would put into the pay-for-performance or the medical home.
Just a final observation. It's just not places like where you and I live. There are many old towns in Minnesota, and I think that's probably the bigger risk where people aren't even aware. It's the old river towns and the small towns where people have these old houses. So I would not want it limited to Minneapolis.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, my house was built in 1922, so when we had it remodeled, they took very careful to make sure they weren't spreading the lead around.
That is, Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley. You mentioned earlier savings from reducing levels of obesity. And I have always cited that too. I really believe that. And I think a lot of people did. And somewhere in the last maybe 3 weeks, there's been report in the media about new research. And while people would say it's still a public health issue and the right thing to do, that it surprised everyone that really the cost savings aren't there. Did you see that, and was that a legitimate research or not?
I don't know the specific one you're talking about, but I can tell you sitting on my desk upstairs is a copy of a newspaper headline that says obesity costs Minnesota $3.7 billion per year. And I don't know the specific study you're talking about. I can tell you a week ago, this past Friday, I was sitting and watching the evening news in Duluth, and there on the evening news comes out that breast cancer is much higher in women that are obese than in non-obese women, and in fact, it's the really bad one, the inflammatory breast cancer, is much higher in obese women. So I think there is a significant a benefit that we could get by trying to help people to lose some weight and get some exercise.
Okay. I'm going to take questions from two more people, but at about 11:15, I know we, meaning the DFL, has a clock that's at 11:30. I don't know if the Republicans do or not. You do. So what we'll do at 11:15 is recess, and we've got at least four or five amendments here at the desk, so then we'll reconvene immediately after the session and take up the amendments and any further discussion that members have. Representative Heidegger, you're next.
I'll wait until afterwards, but I would like to see the caucus is forgotten for today.
Hey, what percentage of Wexham?
Chair, Representative Huntley, just a little question on the bill. These health care homes, can you explain what that concept is about and what are they going to do?
Mr. Chair and Representative Western, health care home or medical home is basically the same thing that we talked about when I was first hired at UMD Medical School in 1973, which is to have primary care docs that do a good job of managing the health care for, in that case, a whole family. So what we're trying to do is reward those groups of physicians that work in a team manner, which would mean that nurse practitioners and nurses are also involved, and they work as a team to try to coordinate the care for these families, particularly those families that have somebody with a chronic illness. So it's a way to reward the real good care that people can need to get if they have a chronic illness. So it's a change, and the interesting thing about the American healthcare system is that it is heavily focused on hospital operations and procedures, and much different than any place else in the world. Every other industrialized country has, in addition to having universal coverage, they spend half as much as we do on healthcare, and they have better outcomes, and they all have a much stronger emphasis on primary care. In most of the rest of the Western world, specialists get paid about the same as primary care docs. In fact, England and Scotland got very concerned when the specialists were making 20% more than primary care docs and changed their system so that the primary care docs would get paid the same as the specialists. In this country, it's the complete opposite. Primary care docs make about $150,000 orthopedic surgeons make about $450,000, and my wife's neurosurgeon makes $950,000. And so where do you think the tilt in our system is when you reward people like that instead of rewarding the people up front to try to keep people healthy? We spend all our money on trying to help people when they're really, really sick.
So, Mr. Chair,
Representative
Representative Huntley, first of all, I'm just clarifying, did you just tell us what your wife's salary was?
No, it's my wife, neurosurgeon, Representative Lesner.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, walk me through a little bit of how that's going to work and what the reward is going to be. You're proposing to raise the pay, lower it for the specialists and raise it for the primary, but how is that going to work? In a practical sense, are you going to say, basically tell families now that, Dad, you can't go to Silver Bay for your doctor if the rest of your family is going to Duluth? You all need to go to the same doctor because that's going to allow them to do this home health practice. How does that work as a practical matter?
Mr. Chair, Representative Western, there's nothing in this bill that restricts anybody from going to any doctor he chooses. If he happens to choose a health insurance plan that has a restricted network, then that's his choice, and then he has to live with that choice. But there's nothing in this bill that talks about restricted networks. It does talk about making the cost and quality visible to people, so they might want to use that information to make their choice, but there's nothing in this bill that says they must do anything.
So Mr. Chair, to follow up, so how is that reward system going to work? I mean, I understand it when you talk about it conceptually, but I mean, how, for those of us that haven't sat on the health committee, explain how the reward system is going to work as a practical matter. Is it, what's it going to pay them, and how's it going to deal with those families that maybe don't have the same doctor for mom and dad and all the kids?
Well, if you're a pediatrician, you can have a medical home for the kids. If you're a family practice doc, you can have a medical home for your adults and your kids if that's what you happen to practice. If you're a general internist, you can also be a medical home doctor. I've gone to the same doc for 20 plus years. He's a general internist, and I'm under no restriction. If I want to go see a specialist, I can do that automatically, but I just don't happen to believe that's what I always ought to do. I always go to the internist first and ask him if I should see a specialist, and that's his decision. But I'm not under any restriction, and he certainly is coordinates the care. My wife's had more health issues than I have had, and she does get calls from nurses asking about some of her conditions, and so he's doing a health home. If somebody wants to, they can qualify for a health home. The specific details are not yet worked out, and that's one of the things in this bill. We're setting up the Healthcare Transformation Commission, and it's their job to quickly come up with the real identifiable definitions of what we're going to look at in terms of these medical homes and a variety of other things. But we're on a rapid course. The amendments that I put in have kind of slowed it down a little bit, but still, this is a huge endeavor, and we can't put it off, and we can't just keep doing pilot projects. We have to get moving.
Representative Hausman, you have a question, and then we're going to need to adjourn. Representative Hausman?
Oh, I'll pass.
Okay. then very quickly, I have another one of these amendments. Page 61, line 21, under appropriations, we need to strike the blank appropriation and insert $20 million. Again, that's because we're updating as a result of the fiscal notes that just came in and over the weekend, I guess. So the chair moves the amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. We are going to check to see if we can stay in this room after session. If you have anything personal, you might want to take it with you just in case we have to move to a different room. But our attempt is going to be to remain here. I'll announce on the House floor if there is a change. Otherwise, just assume we'll be back here. So with that, we're in recess.
Yeah, I'd like to reconvene the Finance Committee. And when we stopped this morning, we were at that point where we were going to begin to take up some additional amendments. And we have an author's amendment before us, H3391A64. Representative Huntley, if you'd care to move the amendment.
That's really kind of a technical correction, Mr. Chair. The A58 amendment that we've already passed, they have a section that repealed that, and we don't really mean to take it out of the bill. So this is basically a technical correction. So I would move that amendment.
Okay, Representative Huntley says it's technical as a result of action this morning. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. What's the next one? You got one there.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg, do you? And I know you had one.
I don't know if you want to deal with this first, Mr. Chair.
We can. I'm just sorting out. Here's the rest of them.
Yeah.
The members on
an oral amendment, if I remember.
An oral amendment. We adopted A58 amendment, if you have that in your pile. I think I can proper motion to make an amendment since it's already adopted. Part of it, if you'll turn to page 9 of that amendment, subdivision 2. And let me explain, and this was kind of pointed out by Bill Marks and other staff members.
Excuse me, I was trying to get caught up here. Which page did you identify?
It's the A58 amendment, page 9, subdivision 2, starting on line 9.21.
Oh, you have a written one?
Well,
I thought when you say A58, oh, you're referring to the A58 amendment.
Yeah.
I follow you. Yeah. And you're on page 9. Okay.
So I guess my motion would be to remove subdivision 2.
On page 9.
Page 9, yes, the whole subdivision 2, lines 9.21 through 9.36.
And then would that carry over to the 10.1?
I think it carries over to 10.1 as well.
Yeah, because that's the effective date for that particular section, if I recall. Also.
Well, the other section might... Other parts of this section might be okay. I don't think we want to do the whole section.
Subdivision 2.
Just the one subdivision 2.
So then it would just go to 9.36. Okay.
And Mr. Chair, if my motion is properly in order, the staff pointed out to us that this is not just a attempt to find the savings and quantify those savings throughout, but also put that savings into formal fiscal notes, and that may be very, very difficult to do. So our House staff and also the administration has expressed some concern about that. I visited with the chair of this and the author of the amendment, and he's comfortable with removing it. So that's the justification for that.
Okay, Representative Huntley?
Well, Mr. Chair, I support this amendment. I've learned never to get into fights with the Ways and Means Chair.
And Mr. Chair,
seriously, this should come out.
Okay, that's motion is before us. Any discussion?
And Mr. Chair, I've never learned this. I've learned not to get in a fight with Bill Marsh.
We all have learned that. No.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, we should probably...
He didn't say the finance chair, so he appeared. Apparently I can be challenged by Representative Hundley with no problem, but...
Mr. Chair, should we also take out the word subdivision 1 then, on line 8.26? Just because there's no...
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I think that's true.
The subdivision 1, the reform modeling tool?
Just take out the word subdivision 1 because there's only one.
Oh, I see what you're... Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be... that's incorporated by Representative Solberg in the amendment then. Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
You're very welcome. And... want to take these in the quarter. Okay. We're just taking them as they come, but I have some here. I don't know if they've come from the minority caucus. Apparently they came down all together, but none of them have a name on them. So I'll just read the number, and if the person is present who is moving the amendment can tell us who the author of the amendment is. First one I have is H3391A55. Maybe Representative Garofalo knows as the lead member.
Mr. Chairman, not that I know, one's coming to me with them.
Okay, so it's from our side of the aisle, A55.
I thought, Mr. Chair, there was a Otremba-Westrum type amendment related to like rural health care.
That's coming later. Yeah.
Okay, that's the only one I know of.
Otremba, Mr. Chair, these are not from our. That's not from our side of the aisle. This is the A55.
I won't make that judgment. I don't know. The next one we have then is A53. It must be in the same category. H3391A53. Anybody know anything about them? Okay, we'll lay that one over as well. H3391A52. Maybe he's just an interested citizen to bring them in. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman,
they appeared down there.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if maybe some of these amendments might have been drafted in advance of the amendment from Representative Huntley. That correct?
That could be, and maybe, but nobody knows what they're dealing with. And the final one is H3391A51.
Oh.
Maybe we are going to get out faster than I thought. Okay. That brings us down, then. We do have an amendment by this Representative Otremba here. I dropped that one to the bottom because she wasn't here earlier. Do you have that one, the Otremba amendment? Mm-hmm. I have it. Neither of the co-authors is here. Representative Huntley, it's the H3391A60 amendment. I have a... Are you familiar with the amendment, Mr.
Huntley? I am familiar with the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Is there a cost for the amendment?
My understanding is that is an additional $9 million out of the Health Care Access Fund this year.
And are you at... Are you at your...
And so that is would exceed our target, and so it would be, I think it's out of order.
Okay, I would, if it exceeds your target, I would concur then. Mr. Marks is the 41st member of our committee. And one of the fiscal analysts indicated 9 million or somewhere in that neighborhood, 9 to 10.
Mr. Chair, there is a target as of the Ways and Means Committee meeting this morning for this bill would be $43,612,000, and my understanding is the bill is currently at that number. That's spending from the Health Care Access Fund in fiscal year 2009.
Okay, so the amendment would be out of order then. Representative Huntley, as you pointed out. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Huntley, just because it might be the only place we discuss county-based purchasing, I know there is another bill traveling that just deals with county-based purchasing. Do you have any observations to the committee about other discussions happening in your committee around the issue of we currently have some counties that have waivers and who do county-based purchasing. And so I just didn't know if you have anything you can talk to us about in this about this broader discussion or the other bill that's traveling.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, there are three other items that relate to this county-based purchasing. Representative Liebling has a bill that's passed out of my committee that deals with a new county-based operation in the southeast corner of the state. There is a bill that deals with Prime West, and which is not controversial, and I'm trying to find a place to put that one on. And then there is also the legislative auditor's report on county-based purchasing and other public programs, and that's in the 1812 bill now. So there has been a significant discussion of county-based purchasing and but this does have a huge fiscal note on it.
The labeling bill that he referenced, Representative Paulson, is before the full finance committee, as he indicated. I was just checking. We haven't scheduled a date for that yet. We've got several bills that we'll be scheduling for next Friday and on into next week, so that'll be something we'll be looking at. Representative Paulson, is that... Okay, we have no further amendments here, so Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, I have some information. I just wanted to clarify that Article 5, the smoking and obesity reduction section, was supposed to, is estimated to cost $680 million plus dollars. Representative Huntley, is there some truth to that, or is that an exaggeration?
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, that's exaggeration. It's $20 million in 2009 and an additional $80 million in the next planning.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, where is that money going to come from, being that we are in deficit and the health care access fund is only supposed to be used for health care access, not for all these other things we've been told this time and time again? So is this coming out of the deficit to make it worse, or are we violating the rule that we're not supposed to take out a health care access fund to expand health care access?
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, this amendment does come, bill does take money out of the health care access fund to fund these public health activities, and again, the health care transformation task force demonstrated that if we did these public health initiatives, there would be reductions in our health care spending overall in the future. So this will improve people's health. It's, I think, an appropriate use of the health care access fund.
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not an expert on health care by any means, but I'm wondering if it's, obesity issue as I look through the bill and whatnot. What are we going to do? We can build trails and hope that people walk on them, I suppose. And I've heard this from other people. If we build more hockey arenas or build more trails, people will magically show up on them and break calories down and so forth. But in literally, what are we as a government going to do to make people thinner? That's going to cost dozens of millions of dollars.
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, this was based on a already completed program in four cities, funded mainly by the CDC,
I know it was Rochester, St. Paul, I think it was Wilmer, and Minneapolis.
Yes.
And all seem to be very successful. It's what the CDC has recommended, so this is an attempt to make that statewide. The money will go to individual communities that have public health boards to try to, and each individual community will design their own program, whatever that community feels is the thing to do that will improve people's health. In some communities, it may not be obesity, it may be tobacco smoking, it may be other items as well. As far as obesity is concerned, as I discussed earlier, there was a paper sitting up on my desk, I should have brought it down again, that showed that obesity costs the state of Minnesota about $3.5 billion a year, and that the adult population in this state in 1995 was about 15% obese. Today we're 25%. So you can't blame that on genetics. You can only blame it on change of living habits. And if we can only get back to where we were in 1995, we would make huge savings in our healthcare system.
Mr. Chair, I won't belabor it, but I'm looking on page 60, and you know, we say we want to have obese and overweight people to less than 50% by such and such a year, and tobacco increase reduced 2% per year. We're supposed to save all this money, but what happens if this doesn't happen? I mean, I certainly laud the goals. I don't smoke. I'm not that overweight, I guess. I'm trying to figure out, you know, we're supposed to save all this money, but what happens if we don't? It looks like an awful lot of money we're spending. These other communities are doing it without the state spending all this money. Why don't we just have them do what these other communities are doing without spending the money? Because that's what's going on now.
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, that's because the money was mainly federal money from the CDC, and they're not giving us the money to move this statewide. But the results in these four communities were appeared to be very successful, and I think that those projects, each one of those four communities did something different, that would be a good approach to try to move it statewide. And the Department of Health, this is or was a proposal from the Department of Health. That does not mean the governor has approved it, but that was a Department of Health plan.
Okay, my last question, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Thanks for the indulgence, Mr. Chairman. I guess the last one is under the outcome section on the last page of the bill, and it says the Commissioner of Health must provide technical assistance and corrective action plans to ensure that local communities are making progress. Do these corrective action plans have the force of law behind them, or are we just saying it would be helpful if you nudge these communities with good suggestions in the right direction, or are we giving a government agency an enormous amount of power? You know, there's a lot of... My dad had corrective action plans for me when I misbehaved. You can call these things whatever you want, but if it's punitive in nature, I'm kind of wondering, what are we empowering the Department of Health to give them broad authority through this one sentence that I don't know that the legislature really wants to give them, by withholding funds, by giving out executive orders, etc.
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, Sister Rita had a corrective action plan she used on me, and I still have the scars in the back of my hand. It involved a ruler.
Now, Hunley, I'm just shocked that the minority leader had to be disciplined at one time in his life. just once, he said. Okay.
But this language is approved both by the Department of Health and by the local public health groups that will get this funding. So they both agreed to this in advance.
Hey, any further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, you were talking, Representative Huntley, were talking about obesity. Our friend, the late friend Joe Dodge, called to me about 4 or 5 years ago. He was looking at some health charts, and he was so happy that he was only obese, and he thought that I was morbidly obese. Do you have anything for us? in your bill?
Maybe some of these local public health groups could give you a pass to the YWCA, YMCA, rather, athletic room and put you on a treadmill.
Thank you. I have one in the basement. It's cheaper.
Hey, any further discussion? Seeing none, then Representative Huntley removes his motion that House File 3976,
Mr. Chair,
just a moment, the first committee engrossment be recommended as amended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I see Representative Weston Rock walked in the room, and I just wanted to make sure, because I kind of worked a little bit on this A60. And there might be some ways, Mr. Chair, to fix it. I just want to get Representative Weston's feel here quick before we're on.
That'd be fine. Maybe just to bring you up to date, Representative Weston, neither of the persons making the motion was here, but we did have some discussion about the fiscal impact, and it had a cost of 9 to 10 million, I forget which, and so it would have put the bill over its target, and so therefore it wasn't.
Mr. Chair, certainly I wouldn't want something to be out of balance. Perhaps it's negligible.
There's some things that are negligible, but I'm not sure that we would count in.
No, Mr. Speaker, that is all in good.
I understand coming from a conservative member of the committee, but
Mr. Chair. This amendment was brought to me by different people that have worked on it. I understand Representative Kreiling, I heard at least, she can speak for herself, was supportive of it. If there's a way to at least put the language on and deal with the fiscal issue, I was informed, being it was coming out of the Health Care Access Fund, it wouldn't have a fiscal impact, but, I mean, that's, I'm not here to argue for or against that, because that's just the second-hand information I've received. So,
Representative West, from the target was set this morning in Ways and Means. And
okay.
That's what made it a hard and fast target.
So, Mr. Chair, if we just left the appropriation blank so there was no money out of it, would it be in order then, and we would have just have, I mean, it basically would...
Yeah, Representative West, from this is a finance committee, and we don't
blanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sir, again, I would suspect that a good fiscal conservative like yourself wouldn't want us to be writing a blank check.
Well, that's not what I'm suggesting either, Mr. Chair. So, let's Ways and Means fill it in. Somebody else could offer it. It's language that basically works with letting a pilot project go forward, working with a county-based purchasing organization that's in my area of the state, as well as Representative Estrumbas in 13 counties out in western Minnesota called Prime West. To not delay, I guess, let's just, if we can try to work it out for next...
I think you can have a continuing discussion, but we can't have an amendment with...
and I understand that.
We come out of this committee, so perhaps... there can be further discussion. We're also, when you were gone, Representative Huntley pointed out there's at least two other bills that are in three other bills that are somewhere in the pipeline. I know one is before the Finance Committee by Representative Liebling that deal with the county purchasing. So there are other vehicles that are around on that issue as well.
Mr. Chair, if you could just allow me the latitude. Representative Huntley, if I could ask him just a question, and here's what I'm wondering, is if this amendment is something he would like to work out, or if it's something he thinks is not good for his bill, and I understand, I think he knows more about it than I do, just because I've only been working on this for 3 days. So, Representative Huntley is is it something that you would like to see worked out, or is it something that would be not friendly, even if we got the money worked out?
Representative Hundley.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, I don't mind some of the language, although I don't think it's written correctly as far as giving some comfort to rural providers. I know there's a lot of nervousness out there, and so I'd be willing to work on something that would alleviate their concerns.
Okay. And so, Mr. Chair, I think some of the supporters might still be in the audience, and they've heard this discussion. We'll work on it between now and the next committee and so on.
Okay. Any further discussion on the Huntley motion, and that it be recommended to pass House File 3391 as amended and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Seeing no further discussion, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And our next meeting, members, will be Friday, and it will be at 10 a.m. So with that, and in this room, meeting adjourned.